today on Real Radio.
He says, look at the world. They of the world love each other. And if you love one another, what's the big deal? Everybody does that. But he says, listen, take it further. Love your enemy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Have you ever heard the term God is love? Sort of a declaration, if you will. I'm sure you have. But do you know where to find that in Scripture? Do you know what the author meant by it? Is it often misunderstood or taken out of context? Well, of course, John is the one who in his gospel referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It seems John the apostle had, well, let's say, particular insight into not just love per se, but divine love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4. It's called Loving Like God.
Let us love one another. I thought about this message, and quite frankly, I was thinking, Lord, if you want to turn off all the power in the building or whatever, the microphone breaks or whatever, and we can't preach this message out loud like this, you know what? That would be fine, because at this point, we need not go any further. Because the meaning of the word, let us love one another, means to get up and do it. And I thought about, you know what? This church service ought to be something different than the norm regarding this verse. We ought to get up and just love one another. And people are, oh no, you're not going to have us do that, are you? You know, people are like going, I told you we shouldn't have come tonight. There's men right now saying, we should have stayed and watched the Lakers. No, you shouldn't have, because when the rapture happens, look around. You're going to be going up. The people who stayed and watched the Lakers lose tonight, I don't know if that was a good thing. No, I actually prayed, Lord, if anyone's going to ditch church tonight for the Laker game, may the Lakers lose. That's how I prayed. Yeah. Think about it. Where are their priorities, you know? God, Lakers. God, Lakers. Lakers. Well, then, may the rapture be tonight, huh? Amen. That's what I think. Anyway, it's not important. God's love. Let us. It means to let it start flowing from us. Let's start doing it. And again, I'm saying that I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are so loving. But we need to do that thing. We need to start finding out. You know, some of us come in here and sit down and go out. We don't even know who we're sitting around. We need to break the ice right there. How do we love one another? First of all, if necessary, it's not always necessary, but if necessary, get their name. You know, you can bless them without knowing their name. But it's kind of nice to say, hi, my name, you know, and give them your name, and hopefully they'll love you back by, you know, getting your name and praying for you. Let us love. Again, it assumes that it's within us, the love of God, the beloved, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, to let the love start flowing from our hearts because God has poured it out upon us, as we'll see as we get into this study. James chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law, listen, the royal law, that supersedes the Ten Commandments, by the way, the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you do well. Well, what the royal law? What is the royal law? Not written on stone. The royal law is the love of God. You want to fulfill the law? You don't have to memorize the first 10 commandments. You just have to love one another. You have to worry about it. You won't be worried about committing adultery or erecting a graven image and worshiping some other assumed God. You won't even go that route because you'll love God and you'll love one another. And you won't have to worry about these things. The love of God. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Beloved, let us love one another. To love one another, it's obviously with a clear intent that those who we know are blessed. Do we know someone? Then we should be loving them. If I would love you tonight as Jesus has loved me, then a relationship between you and I would not only be formed, but it could never be stopped. If I would love you tonight like Jesus loves me, nothing could separate our relationship. Do you understand that? I'm not saying this to make a little filler of a statement here. Do you realize how true this is? That if I loved you and you loved me like Jesus loves us, there's nothing that could come in between our relationship. Nothing. No mood, no slander, no gossip, no nothing. Nothing. If we love each other like Jesus loves us, there is no weapon that can come against our relationship. So do you really believe that? I'll tell you how much I believe it. God loves me so much that I am convinced that He will not allow anything to come into our relationship one with another, me and Him, Him and I. He will not allow it to happen. I may break the deal, but He won't. He loves me that much. He's maintaining my and His, our relationship right now by the grace of God. It's awesome to think. Well, what about one another? This is what the whole point of what John is teaching. You and I should give every bit of effort to the point of spiritual sweat to love each other. And do you realize that if somebody came up, I'm looking around, you know, right now, if somebody came up and said, hey, Rob, or hey, Jack, do you know that Rob said, or do you know that Jack said, or you know, hey, Karen, do you know that Phyllis said, and if, you could just say, hey, you know, you can stop that right there. Because you know what? This is going against the love of God. It's divisive. It's wrong. It doesn't do anything but tear down. I don't need to hear that garbage because you know what? I know that I love Rob or Rob loves me or Karen loves Philip or Phyllis or and does, you know. It just doesn't matter because you know what? Love hopes. Love endures all things. Would to God that all Christians around the world would just happen to rise up to this truth, to let the love of God that is locked within our heart by the Holy Spirit's indwelling, let it out. And I'm not talking about some flowery, goofy thing. I'm talking about when somebody comes up and says, man, did you hear about so-and-so? They're really sick or they're really in trouble. You know what? Hey, real quick, let's pray real fast, okay? Let's pray real quick and then get down to the store and buy them some food. Or let's pray and let's go over there and whatever it might be. Do it. Do the love of God. John 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to go back to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them until the end. Wow, I love it. Also, verse 7, we see here that God's love characterizes those who know God. This is something that the Christian is marked by. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Three key words. Number one, love. For love is of God. Love, the agape of God, God's love. Not earthly love, God's love. Everyone who loves, agape love, is born. Born out of God. Born from God. We are born from the world, but then we need to be born again or born from God. So those who are born again have the love of God in them. And listen, and knows God. The word in the Greek is gnosko, experiential. They have experienced the reality of God. Listen, this may raise an eyebrow or two. Listen carefully. Don't misunderstand me. There are a lot of people who say they know God. They say they know God. And you have no way of testing or knowing that until time goes by and you see if they A, love God, B, love people. Do they love people? Do they love God? Time will tell. Gnosko, to know God. If you know God by experiential knowledge of God, that is, you have come to know Jesus and you come to see that His Word of God is powerful and that works in and out of your life and that you fellowship with God's people and all the things that are wrapped up in our Christian relationship with one another and with God, This person knows that they've been born again and they know God. And because that's true, they are letting out, you know, in my mind's eye, I see a fisherman letting out the net or the line, just let it go. They have let out from their lives the love toward one another. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing it. Yes, you should love one another. Of course, he says, look at the world. They of the world love each other. And if you love one another, what's the big deal? Everybody does that. But he says, listen, take it further. Love your enemy. You cannot do that without Jesus. You may act like it from time to time, but it's false. You've got to love your enemy. Well, I can't do it. Join the club. I feel the same way. I can't do it. I can tell you from personal experience, it's a miracle. I had somebody that was just on my heels, just absolute, and lying and lying and lying. And I had people saying, you know what, you need to go. Man, you need to, and I heard everything from you need to do this to you need to sue the guy, you need to knock him out, you need to, I mean, I heard it all. And I just sat. And then one day the Lord said, you know what I want you to do? I mean, it was so clear. I was reading my Bible in the morning, going through my just daily scripture reading. And quite honestly, you know, I was probably reading my Bible thinking, you know, I got to get going. And it jumped out, it hit me like a ton of bricks. In Romans 12, verses 9 to 21, the Lord says there, you know what? I want you to, now listen, this is how, I love how God speaks, at least to me. I want you to treat this person like an absolute enemy. Well, amen, Lord. Keep reading. And then it said there to bless them. To bless them. And so I embarked upon a mission to bless them. And you know what? From that moment on, this is a long time ago, years ago, from that moment on, I was liberated, freed. I don't know about what their condition was, but I was freed. Man, I was free from that moment on. It's awesome. So I don't believe it. Well, then don't. But those of you who want to, try it and watch how free and liberated you can become. It's incredible. God's word is so true. But God's love, and again, that's not our love. We don't own it. We don't possess it. God's got to give it. And to those who have given their hearts to Jesus Christ, He has given it. And we need to start exercising it out of our lives. Is there something going on in your life? Listen, is there something going on in your life where you've dug your heels in? You know, isn't that us? I'm not budging. That's me. You can pour cement around my feet. Especially when we know we're right, you know? And let's assume we're right. We're right. We're right about this thing. We know it. We got scriptures 9 miles high, stacked up, ready to go, ready to quote. I'm right. And the Lord says, you know what? I want you to humble yourself. Humble myself. I'm not the one. I said, humble yourself. And I want you to go and bless him. Tell them you love them. Eat dinner with them or have them come over. I don't know, whatever it is for your life. And you got to stop and ask yourself, and you know it's true, is this something Jesus would do? And you, boy, those, if you're ever wondering, does God ever speak to me? Ask him those questions. Is this something you would do, Jesus? Oh, you'll hear him loud and clear. You'll hear, no! Or you'll hear, yes! Usually when Jesus says to do something, my skin crawls. It's not comfortable for me. So find it in your life. What's not comfortable for you to do but would glorify God? Chances are, that's the exact thing that God wants you to do. Well, that would require dying to my flesh. Yeah, that's right. That would mean for me to pick up my cross daily. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. It's true. But so is his word. God's love in us characterizes those who know God. In John chapter 15, I love that chapter. Jesus says the world loves its own. If you were of the world would love you. So the world has its own love, you know. It's not the same love of God, though. The world has its love. But boy, is it fickle, isn't it? Isn't it spastic? Boy, it's on one moment and off the next. Not God's love. Yeah, there is a love of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. 1 John 2, 15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father, or the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." There is a love of the world. But this is the love of God, divine in nature and divine in origin of the Lord. In Romans 5:5, this is a great verse for us. In Romans 5:5 is in direct correlation to verse 7 tonight, and that is, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. When did that happen? The moment we accepted Jesus Christ. If you were born again, or if you are born again, the moment you were born again by the Spirit of God, let me read John 5, or Romans 5:5 again. God has poured out, past tense. He already did it. When? Into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. When did he give us the Holy Spirit? When was the Holy Spirit deposited into our hearts? The moment we were born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us this. That moment we were born again, God poured into our hearts his love. Verse 7 says, "Everyone who loves is born of God." And this is the proof of the life of the Christian. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Isn't that simple? To love each other. And if we love each other, if you love me, if I love you, then I want the best for you. I want to be able to do all that I can within my power to give you the best. It can be as simple as who gets the biggest slice of the pie. I tell you, in our house at night, I don't know how it is where you're at. I'm only talking to married couples right now. Pillows. Pillows are a big deal in our home. I love pillows. I love hundreds of pillows. I need a pillow everywhere. And each pillow, I can tell, maybe I'm very ill. But when I get into my bed at night, I can grab my pillows. They're all stacked. I grab the pillow, and I can be blindfolded, man. It doesn't matter. I can feel my pillow, and I can tell by the feel which one goes where. Amen, brother. This one goes behind my neck. This one goes over here. This one goes there. This one there. And it's like, perfect, man. Don't mess up my pillows. But we've got now this little puppy Yorkshire Terrier. We got her 2 pounds, and now she's a whopping 3 pounds. And when she's on the bed, she's like, you'd be surprised how heavy 3 pounds can be. Because she'll get on a pillow, and first of all, she's just like, and lays down. You're not going to move her. She seizes it. And then I'm thinking, you know that little rat? That's my favorite pillow. But then they're just so cute. And then, you know, oh, I can have the pillow tonight, you know. And you give up. Because I love that little dog. But, you know, when it comes to things like, big ticket item things, do we yield so easily, you know? When somebody, you know, we're praying for the salvation of someone at work. Lord, show them that you love them. Lord, show them that you want to bless them. Lord, save their soul. Use me, God, if you would, to reach them for the gospel. And you're praying and the boss comes in and they pass up you and they give them the raise. God, how could you do this? He's only answering the prayer to bless. If you really love them, you would have said, "No, I just got the raise, but I'm gonna give you my raise, you know." I mean, you're just trying to reach them. You go the extra mile to bless. The love of God. It's not selfish. It's beautiful. Another thing we see here in verse 8 is that the lack of love reveals that one doesn't know God. If you are lacking, if you do not possess God's love, it's proof positive that you don't know God. He who does not love does not know God. The word literally has not experienced God in their lives. For or because God is love. Wow, what a simple thing. Because God is love, those who love with God's love know God. Because God is love, those who do not love with God's love, they don't know God. That's exactly why Jesus, in Matthew 7:21, will say in the last days, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we not cast out demons and did do many miracles? And didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me into hell. I never knew you. He wouldn't even know who they were. Didn't we travel the globe and cast out demons and do all kinds of stuff in your name? And he says, I don't even know who you are. The only way that can happen is if they do not know the love of God. And that's serious, isn't it? You can hear a pin drop in here right now. That's because it's serious stuff. Ask yourself, do I exhibit the love of God? Or is it a self-centered love? Do I give because I'll get? That's the love of the world. I'll do this if you do this back. The love of the world. Not the love of God. It's been well said that love does not define God, but God defines love. And that's true. God is spirit, John 4:24 tells us. God is light, 1 John 1:5 tells us. And here, God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, probably the most famous verse of the Bible outside of Psalm 23. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love, or Jesus, suffers long and is kind. Love, or Jesus, does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, listen, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Man, I tell you, just if we were to look at verses 7 and 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, my goodness, if we treated each other like this, bears all things, puts up with. Now, get used to it. If you're a Christian, God is going to send people into your life, and they're going to be Christians that drive you crazy. God has sent them. They're divine appointments to you. Oh, here he comes. Oh, he drives me crazy. That's God's divine appointment. God has engineered that person to be a total, you know, irritant to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle writes about, well, you might call it love from above. Loving like God is the title of this presentation. Loving like God is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently here on Real Radio, we brought you Pastor Jack's series called Living in the Days of Deception. And you know what? We get a lot of requests still coming in for folks who'd like to get their hands on that series. So we're going to keep it available for you. Our offer? We'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Living in the Days of Deception, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. We really want to get this into your hands, so whatever you can send, we will send you the entire series on one MP3 CD, Living in the Days of Deception. Call, click, or write. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or call us. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack's series on MP3 CD. You're going to like it. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.